إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه. Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him and we thank Him and we seek His forgiveness and we rely upon Him and we put our trust in Him. ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. And we seek refuge in Him from the evil of ourselves and the negative consequences of our actions. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. For whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can misguide. And whomsoever Allah misguides, none can bring them back. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And I bear witness with full conviction that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his last and final messenger. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who believe, have the right taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that He is meant to receive from us. And do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمُ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ وَالْأَرْحَامِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَيْكُمْ رَقِيبًا. O people, have that mindfulness, that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has created you from a single soul. And from him he has created his spouse, and from them both he has created many men and women. And have that taqwa, that mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one from whom you demand your mutual rights and those of kin. For indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever watching over everything that we do. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. O you who believe, O the one who has iman in their heart, have that fear and that mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that which is true and just. For Allah will rectify your affairs and will forgive your sins, and whomsoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then they are the ones who have achieved the great victory. أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْكَلَامِ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدْيُ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا وَكُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ وَكُلَّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. The best of speech is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of matters within the deen are those newly invented matters that has no basis. For every newly invented matter that has no basis leads to misguidance, and every misguidance eventually leads to the hellfire. My dear brothers and sisters, after the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam entered into a phase of peace with him and the Meccans, which allowed him now to focus his efforts towards the other nations. He was able to send letters to call them to Islam, because there's a truce for 10 years between him and the Meccans. And from the letters he sends, is he sends a letter to the Byzantines, their emperor Caesar or Heraclius. And he happened to receive this letter when he was in Elia. Elia is the name for Jerusalem at that time. He decided, because God had given him victory over the Persians, that he would go to Jerusalem to thank him. And as he gets this letter, there happened to be Abu Sufyan and a bunch of Meccans that were in the Syrian area, because they were known to go there for trade during the seasons. So Heraclius wanted to learn about who this person is that is sending me this letter and calling me to Islam. Is there anyone there who knows him, who can tell me about him? And his messenger goes and he finds Abu Sufyan and his friends, and he tells him, come, the Caesar wants to have a meeting with you. And a conversation takes place between them. And Heraclius, he asked him multiple questions about who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. He asked him about his lineage. And Abu Sufyan, because of his friends being there, and if he lied, they would label him a liar. So he decided he was going to be truthful. And at this time, Abu Sufyan is not a Muslim yet. So from the questions that Heraclius Caesar asked Abu Sufyan was about his lineage. Was anyone in his family a king? Who are the people that follow him? When they follow him, do they end up leaving the religion or do they stay within it? Is this person known to tell a lie? He asked him a whole bunch of questions to understand the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he asked Abu Sufyan, okay, what does he call you towards? And Abu Sufyan tells him that he tells us to worship Allah alone and not to associate partners with him, to leave off that which our forefathers used to do, to pray, to establish the ties of kinship, to give the zakat, so on and so forth. And after this interview, Caesar responds and he says that the qualities that you are describing is of a man, of a prophet, that has been told to us in our scriptures. But I didn't think he was going to be from amongst you. And if you say that which is true, if what you're saying is true, then he is going to occupy the lands under my feet. Where is he standing right now? In Elia, in Jerusalem. If you say, if your speech is truthful, he is going to be taking over these lands that is under my feet. And if I was able to go to him, I will go to him, I'm going to wash his feet. But he now had this internal conflict that do I accept this or do I stick with my people and my kingdom? Because Shaitan will come and play with us and he will make people think that if you accept this religion, it's as if you're going to lose out on something else. And he ended up choosing his way of life, his kingdom, over submitting to Allah Azza wa Jal, thinking that that's going to bring him the glory and honor in his life. But then the end result was that not only was he humiliated in this world, but also in the Akhirah, because of dying upon that state of disbelief. Now fast forward. This is taking place during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Umar radiallahu anhu now becomes the Khalifa. And after the battle of Yarmouk, this opened the pathway for the Muslims to start expanding across the Levant. They take over Syria, they take over Hims, Fihl, so on and so forth. They get to Ajnadain, which is close to Jerusalem. Amr ibn As and Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah take over and they achieve victory there. And now they go and they start marching towards Jerusalem. And they lay siege to the fortresses around Jerusalem. And if we go back in history, cities were not like how you and I see it today. There's big walls, thick, high. Their weapons are swords, shields, spears, maybe catapults and rocks. You're not really going to penetrate that very easily. So they laid siege to those fortresses for about 4 months. And these are people from the Arabian desert. They're not used to that climate. The cold winter. Mecca is very hot. Medina has some type of winter. But compared to where they are, but nonetheless they are patient. They rely upon Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Sophronius, who is the patriarch of Jerusalem, he decides he's going to surrender. And Abu Ubaidah gives him three choices. Either you accept Islam willfully, or we fight, or you pay the jizya, which is the tax of protection. That they pay a small amount, which excludes them from enlisting in the Muslim army, and they are protected, and this is less than zakat to begin with. So Abu Ubaidah, they agreed to give the jizya. But there is a condition, that we're not going to give the keys of the city except that we give it to the leader of the Muslims. So he has to come from Medina, Umar radiallahu anhu, has to come from Medina to accept the keys from us. So they write him a letter and they send it to Umar. And Umar radiallahu anhu, part of his strategy, this is a prophetic model, is that he would consult with his companions. Like, okay, what do you guys think is the best strategy for us to implement? Mainly, he spoke with Uthman and Ali. And Uthman told him, you stay here, this is the safest place for you, maybe they're going to try to do something to you. And why should we listen to their request? There's no need for you to go out. Ali says, no, you should go out. It makes sense for you to go out because it will make it easier for the Muslims. It will ease the process for them, so you should go out. So he agreed with Ali radiallahu anhu, appoints him as the deputy of Medina, and he heads out. Now there's many narrations in terms of how this journey played out. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he gets to a location close to Jerusalem called Al-Jabiya. And over there he gives a khutbah, a sermon, and he tells the companions that rectify your inner actions first. Rectify the inner aspect of yourselves, then through that your outer actions will be rectified automatically. It starts with the inside, that iman has to penetrate our hearts. We have to cleanse our hearts from the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not pleased with, and adorn our inner selves with those actions that He is pleased with. And through that, naturally, the response is going to come from the limbs. So Umar is telling, he's not just telling anyone. He's telling the cream of the crop. Abu Ubaidah, Khalid, Amr ibn As, and the other Muslims who are there in front of him. And he's telling them to focus your efforts on the Akhirah. Everything you do, have the intention for the Akhirah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through that, will rectify your dunya as well. That will naturally come when your intention, your motivation is for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he also tells them that be with the jama'ah, be with the Muslim community. Don't be that lone sheep. Because the lone sheep, the wolf can easily go and prey on. So be part of the community. And as he's making his way to Jerusalem, the accounts, they depict Umar radiallahu anhu. We have to look at who he is at this time. He's the most important person on the face of the earth. Not only that, he's also the most powerful individual on the face of the earth. And he is going towards Jerusalem to receive the keys to the Holy Land. Not only holy to the Muslims, but to the Christians and to the Jews as well. And he's going bareheaded. The sun is shining on his bald head. Humble appearance on a camel. He gets to a pond where it's muddy. He gets off his camel. He removes his shoes, puts it in his hand, and starts leading his camel across that waterbed. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu goes to him and he tells him that this is really surprising. Like, you got to take care of yourself. You're going to people who are expecting something from you. And Umar radiallahu anhu turns to him and he smacks him in the chest and he says, "Oh Abu Ubaidah, only if somebody else had said this." And he made the famous statement, "Nahnu qawmun a'azzana Allahu bil Islam." That we are a nation that Allah has given honor to us through Islam. وَمَهْمَ بَتَغَيْنَ الْعِزَّةَ فِي غَيْرِهِ أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. And if we try, no matter how hard we try to seek izzah, respect, honor, dignity through other than Islam, Allah Azza wa Jal will humiliate us. Context is key. Who is he saying this to? He is saying to Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, one of the 10 that is promised Jannah. The one who Umar radiallahu anhu appointed when he became the Khalifa to replace Khalid ibn Walid. This is an individual that his whole focus and his dedication is to attain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to begin with. And when Umar radiallahu anhu had visited Abu Ubaidah in Sham, in Syria, he's the governor there. Now when you think of a governor, today's day and age, how do you imagine their homes to be? How do you imagine the inside of their houses to be? Do they utilize the wealth of the public to serve the interests of the public? Or is it to also adorn their lives as well? So Umar tells Abu Ubaidah that invite me to your house. I want to visit your home. And Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he says that if you come to my house, you're going to cry. You're going to cry if you come to my house. Umar says, I want to go anyway. So when he goes into his house and he looks around and he says, where's your belongings? All I see is a saddle, a plate, and a water skin. Where's the food? And Abu Ubaidah goes and he brings from the corner pieces of bread. And Umar radiallahu anhu, he starts weeping. The governor of Syria has nothing in his house. And Abu Ubaidah told him, I told you this was going to happen. If you're going to come, you're going to cry. He says, whatever gets you to your destination. Whatever gets you to your destination, meaning whatever gets you to Jannah. Whatever you have to do, do it. And we all know the famous story of how Umar radiallahu anhu comes to Jerusalem with his servant. They take turns going back and forth, who's going to ride. And as he's approaching Jerusalem, it's the servant's turn. And Umar radiallahu anhu is bringing the camel in. And the people are waiting, and they see this humble man. And there's somebody else sitting on the camel, and they realize that Umar radiallahu anhu, the Khalifa, is dragging the camel, and the servant is sitting on top of the camel. When they see this, they're taken aback. And Abu Ubaidah also goes to him and he repeats the same thing to him, that we are a nation that Allah has given honor through Islam, through the teachings of Islam. These were individuals. 26 years ago before this, they were nobody. None of the countries even paid attention to them. These people have nothing that we want. We don't need to waste our time with them. But within that time frame, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes. 23 years his prophethood. Now we are in the 16th year after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes into Medina. And they are taking over the world. And Sophronius comes and he takes Umar radiallahu anhu, and they form the famous covenant, which is known as the Umariya covenant, the Treaty of Umar, in which Umar radiallahu anhu, and mind you, before this, the Persians took over this. When the Byzantines entered, you think they just let people be like, hey, go do what you want. There's no blood that was spilled. They didn't slaughter. But when Umar made the covenant, based upon their conditions and also what he stipulated, he gave them protection of wealth, of life, of their churches, of their crosses, that nothing would be broken down, nothing would be taken, their property would be safe. Nobody would be forced to accept the religion of Islam, because nobody enters into the religion except by choice. There is no compulsion within the deen. And not only that, he let their places of worship be intact. And this was the historic covenant. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. My dear brothers and sisters, I want us to take some time and reflect over the statement of Umar radiallahu anhu, in which he says, نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, that we are a nation that Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the Almighty, has honored through Islam, through the teachings and implementation of this religion, of this beautiful way of life, which is the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through the implementation and living that message, Allah Azza wa Jal has honored us. And just look at how much growth they experience in that short amount of time. And if we try to gain that honor and respect through other means, by compromising our principles, by thinking that there's another way of life that is better than ours, there are so many isms that is out there today. And if we want to bring that into our life, thinking that is superior to Islam, Umar radiallahu anhu said, أَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ, then Allah Azza wa Jal is going to humiliate us. Because through that, they rectified not only their inner world and secured their akhirah, their afterlife, but also through that, they built their dunya as well. Allah opened the doors of the dunya for them. And they benefited from it as well. So when we look at ourselves and we see our level of practice of this deen, then where is it? Do we think that in a different way we're going to receive that change that we're looking for? And all the principles are there in the Quran. For both this world and the next as well, Allah says, كُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ, be with the truthful individuals. If you and I don't know who they are, how do we expect to be there? وَأَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, and prepare whatever you can. As Muslims, we have to be proactive. We have to be innovative. We have to be the leaders in industries. If you look at the majority of the Muslim world, we're consumers. We're not the producers. But our faith teaches us, we're a religion of iqra. It started with read, learn, educate, be those people who are the ones who are leading the field and are doing it in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in a way that is going to be displeasing to Allah azza wa jal. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi had a famous statement. Remember, this is early generation, where he said, لَنْ يَصْلُحَ لَنْ يَصْلُحَ آخِرُ هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ إِلَّا بِمَا صَلَحَ بِهِ أَوَّلُهَا. That never will the latter part of this ummah be rectified except with that which rectified the earlier part. The guidelines are there. The teachings are there. The sunnah is there. The Quran is there. We need to implement it into our lives. And Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعِزَّةِ فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. That whoever wants izzah, wants that honor, wants that dignity, wants that respect, then it comes from Allah Azza wa Jal. فَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ جَمِيعًا. All of that belongs to Allah Azza wa Jal. And if we want it, we have to seek it from Allah Azza wa Jal. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَرَادَ عِزَّ الدَّارَيْنِ فَلْيُطِعِ اللَّهِ. That whoever wants the honor of both worlds, not just the akhirah, but even in this world, then let them be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. And when we see the situation of our brothers and sisters across the world, you know, we hurt. We see that. We see that which is in the Quran. But we have to also look at history, that things take time. Sometimes we see something, but Allah Azza wa Jal has the bigger picture. He has the entire picture. And the change that He is planning for, maybe we're not aware of it. And as we heard, I want to remind you of a statement of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, when he became the Khalifa. One of his first sermons that he gave, he mentioned at the end of this, أَمَا إِنَّهُ لَا خَيْرَ بِخَيْرٍ بَعْدَهُ النَّارِ وَلَا شَرَّ بِشَرٍ بَعْدَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. That there is no good in something that is good, which leads to eventually to the Jahannam. That no matter how people prosper and how much they're enjoying and relaxing, but if the end result is going to be in entry into Jahannam, then there's no good in that. But the evil, the difficulties that is there, within the difficulties that's there, there is no evil if the end result is Jannah. So if people are going through the struggle and they're getting their ticket stamped into Jannah, then isn't that what you and I want? That the end result, that you and I say La ilaha illallah on our tongues when we leave this world. May Allah Azza wa Jal rectify the affairs of our ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to the truth and keep us firm upon that path and make us die upon that path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower this ummah with honor and respect and dignity. May Allah Azza wa Jal be there for our brothers and sisters all across the world. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. The Triangle Area Masajid are working together for a unified Eid Fest this Saturday at 2 p.m. at the NC State Fairgrounds Jim Graham Building. So there'll be a lot of things to do, so please come and bring your children as well. إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ وَإِيتَاءِ ذِي الْقُرْبَى وَيَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنكَرِ وَالْبَغْيِ يَعِذُكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. اذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ يَذْكُرْكُمْ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Please train the lines, close the gaps. Please make sure you fill up the rows in front before starting one in the back.
Allah. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. القارعة. ما القارعة وما أدراك ما القارعة؟ يوم يكون الناس كالفراش المبثوث وتكون الجبال كالعهن المنفوش فأما من ثقلت موازينه فهو في عيشة راضية وأما من خفت موازينه فأمه هاوية وما أدراك ما هي نار حامية. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to your masjid today, the 21st. Join us tonight for Dribbling Down Barriers, where renowned Muslima athlete, Sister Bilqis Abdul Qadir, will be speaking about her fight to wear hijab tonight after Maghrib. For the first time ever, 11 Triangle Masajid and Muslim organizations will hold a unified Eid festival. Make plans today to attend Eid Fest at the NC State Fairgrounds inside the Jim Graham Building, tomorrow the 22nd from 2 to 7:30 p.m. Visit nceid.org to buy your tickets today. We hope you had a wonderful Eid celebration with your loved ones. We'd love to hear your feedback on how we can better serve you in the future. We'd appreciate if you could take a few minutes to complete this survey found at raleighmasjid.org. Your responses will help us improve your experience in the future, inshallah. Girls Basketball Skills Camp, led by famous Muslima athlete and legend Sister Bilqis Abdul Qadir, open to sisters ages 8 and up from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow and Sunday. Light refreshments will also be available. Register via raleighmasjid.org. Pray, recite, play Quran circles and activities for children of all ages, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays from Maghrib to Isha, starting this Monday. More info can be found on raleighmasjid.org. IAR is excited to announce the upcoming launch of the Thrive program with Imam Saif Murad. This program aims to engage Muslim adults aged 30 plus through spiritual enrichment, community engagement, and networking opportunities. We'd love your input to ensure the program caters to your interests and schedules. Please take a few minutes to answer some questions so that we can serve you better. The survey can be found in the newsletter. Jazakumullahu khairan. Enjoy this wonderful week. Wassalamu alaikum.